सही तरह आती है, अच्छी आती है उर्दू?
मैं कहूँगी मुझे आती है काफ़ी अच्छी. जो लफ्ज मुझे आते नहीं है उर्दू में, फिर मैं वो उन्हें अंग्रेजी में बोल देती हूँ.
जी मेरे घर में मेरे माँ बाप कहते हैं कि खाली उर्दू में बोलना होता है, हम अंग्रेजी में नहीं बोल सकते. क्योंकि जब हमारे बच्चे होंगे मामा पापा कहते हैं कि वो तो बोल जाएंगे उर्दू कैसे बोलते हैं, तो इसलिए हम घर में ज़्यादा उर्दू बोलते हैं.
हाँ, जब मैं अपने पाकिस्तानी फ्रेंड्स के घर जाती हूँ ना, तब वहाँ मेरी आंटी कहती हैं कि लाइक उर्दू में बोला करो, क्योंकि फिर हमें भूल जाएगी अगर हम बोलेंगे नहीं.
मैं तो बचपन से उर्दू ही बोलता आया हूँ, मुझे तो आती है. हमारे एक्चुअली फ्लुएंट है और मैंने बीच में इंग्लिश बोल
या
डिस्कॉर्ड से आता तो होगी.
Hey everybody, this is Habib from Popcord. I hope you enjoyed your holidays and have a great start to the new year. This will be our last episode for 2018, but hopefully not our last episode entirely. I started this podcast a little over 3 months ago, and we've already launched about, it's probably a good sign that I'm forgetting how many episodes we put out, but this will be our 17th episode, so yeah, we're on a good track. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, do us a favor. I just want to remind you all that you can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Google Play, if you're in the US, iTunes, of course, and Apple Podcasts, and various other podcasting apps on Android and iPhone. So in order to support us, please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast on whichever app you use. That really helps with the podcast appearing higher on search results. So that will help us continue putting out more and more episodes. If you can, if you have an iPhone, do us a favor and leave us a written review and a good star rating on the iTunes review page for this podcast. So today's topic revolves around three teenagers. We have Mavra, 15 years old from Canada. We also have Faz, 15 years old from the US. And then we have Ahmed, 16 years old from Pakistan, Islamabad. A few weeks ago, a little over a month ago actually, we did an episode on nomophobia. If you remember, the fear of being without your mobile phone, nomophobia. We didn't quite finish up on that episode since there's so much to discuss. So I wanted to grab a perspective from a different age group. And what better age group to bring in than the I generation, the Generation Zers that we highlighted in that particular episode. So I brought in Mavra, Faz, and Ahmed to discuss this. But what happens during a lot of these podcast recordings, and this is one thing that I really enjoy about podcasting actually, is the topic oftentimes changes and we end up talking about various different things, not just the topic at hand. So without further ado, one of the questions that I wanted to ask Mavra and Faz is how they stayed connected to their Pakistani roots, even while growing up in the West.
Okay, so like when there was the cricket champion trophy, I was like really hyped for it because it was going to be Pakistan versus India. So, and I didn't like have any Pakistani friends to talk about it with. So I searched up the Pakistan Discord server because I was feeling really patriotic and stuff.
And you live in a part of Canada that's not very...
I mean, the area I live in is like, it doesn't have any brown people.
So Faz, you can go next. What made you join the server? How did you find the server?
Oh, okay. Thanks. So I guess I like golfing a lot. I think I might join the golf team next year, but I play casual. I'm not that good at it. I found the Pakistan server after I used to play Roblox. So I created a Pakistan army on Roblox. It was actually like the official Pakistan Armed Forces on Roblox. And Mavra actually joined the Pakistan Armed Forces on Roblox. And she we became friends and she was like, hey, you want to check out this Pakistan server? And I was like, cool, that sounds fun. So I checked it out and like she sent me the invite. So that's how I found out about that.
Chalo, moving on.
Yeah.
I'm Ahmed, 16 years old. I found this server. I came on Discord because a friend of mine was on Discord and I followed him. I didn't have any server, so I searched up for Pakistan and I found it.
Nice. Aur kaun se shehar mein rehte ho, Ahmed?
Pindi.
Right. And then what else do you do in your spare time outside of school?
School ke alawa cycle chalata rehta hu mohalle mein, nahi to pehle football khelne ka shauk tha, utar gaya.
Acha. We move on to the question, how aware are your parents of the internet and your internet usage?
Well, my parents aren't really aware of it. Like, they know that I go on it, but they don't really know what I do except for playing games. So, like, the only part they know about is, like, if I talk to someone, it's because, like, when I'm playing a game, they know I'm talking to someone because of the game. They don't know about the other parts. And I'm pretty sure they don't know that you can, like, talk to people on the internet. I mean, except for Facebook and stuff, but they know I don't have Facebook.
Hmm. What about you told them about the podcast?
Yeah, I told them about the podcast. Like I briefly said it, but my mom knows it. And for the restrictions part, my parents don't make the restrictions. I actually do it on my own. So I just don't like slack off. Like I do my chores first, like my homework first and all the other stuff that I need to do. And then I go on the internet. So like I have a routine instead of like slacking off and stuff.
No, that's a good start. I think we can go around and ask all three of you the same question because I have more follow-ups to that, but it'd be good to get all three of you at once for this. So Fazd, what is your like internet life like and what do your parents think of it?
Well, I spend a lot of time on the internet. If I'm not like playing video games or watching a movie with my family, I'll probably just be on the internet, either playing games or chatting with people on Discord. My parents, I'd say, are very aware of that. They know how they typically keep track of how long I'm on there, what I do. They're aware of Discord. Every once in a while, my mom will actually voice chat with me on the Pakistan server, say hi to a couple people, but they can be pretty strict about that. Like my dad has this like fear of that the FBI is going to take me away if I accidentally join some kind of like group that's like Islamic extremist or something like that. So mm-hmm. he's constantly like being strict with that. He wants to make sure I'm staying safe.
Mm-hmm. Is your dad really internet savvy himself? Does he use the internet a lot?
He uses it for like his business stuff. Yeah, my dad's a businessman. He does use it for stuff like email and like documents and whatnot. So he does use the internet, so he's pretty aware of how all that works.
Hmm. Right. I get it. And then, Ahmed, what about you?
I try to put my studies up in line. So every time I'm studying and when I'm not, I try to be on Discord. It's like whenever I have free time, I just hop onto it. My parents on the other hand, they don't really care as long as I'm doing what I should. I mean, yeah. As long as I'm studying.
Ah, right. My first guess would be like internet life in Pakistan would be much different, though I can't say for sure because I don't live over there. UK, like at least going 5-10 years back, the internet speeds over there weren't that great. People have a bigger offline life in Pakistan than over here. People are like super digital.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that like something you would agree with, Ahmed?
Yes, it's true in the cases of people that can't afford these luxuries. Otherwise, those that can afford them, pretty much like us.
Oh yeah, that's true. Especially like younger generation Pakistan, right? They're probably a lot more connected. Yeah, you guys are gaming with us and everything. That's a big deal. Yeah. So, Mav, the follow-up question I was just going to ask is, like, how many hours do you spend on the internet per day, you think?
I would have to say, like, 7, I guess.
Whoa.
I don't know.
I mean, honestly, that's, probably as much as I spend. What do you guys do, the rest of you?
My parents, they typically try to keep restrictions and whatnot. Every once in a while, there will be, like, they'll come in with this huge wave of like major restrictions, and over time they'll slowly decline, and then they'll remember I have to keep him restricted, and then they'll like come back and mm-hmm. like right now I'm restricted to 4 hours a day. That does not include, you know, Netflix and TV shows and stuff. But
okay, just like the keyboard usage basically.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one third of the time I'm gaming, and then one third would be like YouTube or Netflix, and then like the other part, I guess, could be Discord or reading online.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I don't know how much school has changed, but I mean, there's like software like Kahoots that.
Oh, yeah. I use Kahoot all the time.
That schools are using. Yeah, like how much internet is being used? How much computer is being used in your school life?
definitely I use it like every day at school in different classes for Kahoot or studying online, because there's an app called Quizlet. It helps you study that the teachers make. So you can use like flashcards and stuff. But yeah, definitely like every day in school, we do use technology.
What is Kahoot? We don't have it here.
It's like a trivia game. Yeah, my school is definitely like every single day, like a class is like world studies, honors world studies, and literacy, English 9 are definitely using it like every single day. We use them for research papers, researching class assignments, looking stuff up online, homework. So like day-to-day basis, we are using it a ton. But other classes like math, not so much, maybe once in a while for like a graphing calculator and whatnot, we might use it. But yeah.
Yeah, I use it for like science and English and social exam reviews.
Do you guys have laptops, by the way, that you're allowed to use in school or something? Or do your schools give you laptops?
The Chromebooks. Yeah, the Chromebooks.
Oh, man.
I can only use the Chromebooks at school, but I can use the phones, like my phone, at class, if the teacher allows, or during free time.
My school actually gives every student a MacBook computer for the year, which we actually get to take home with us. I actually have mine in my room, and they give you a charger and everything, and you can use
that's really nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Ahmed, what is your school life like, I guess, in contrast? Because as you can tell, these guys use their computers a lot in school.
In school, we only use our computer for programming when it comes to computer science. Other than that, we don't really use our computer at all.
Wow, yeah. All my classmates bring their phones to school. My honors world studies teacher, he actually keeps like a little baggie where you put your phone at the beginning of the day.
What age did you guys get cell phones?
I got mine actually last year in the middle of grade 8.
So you were like 14?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah, I got my iPhone when I started up middle school. So at age 13, I got my iPhone.
Okay.
I saved up when I was 15 for a phone. I bought an LG V10, and it had a manufacturing problem where it wasn't very good with chargers of other devices. I charged it with a Samsung charger, and it got burned inside out.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
That was actually depressing.
I'm sure.
I saved up from my own money for that.
Yeah, you saved up. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, niko ni inshallah koi aur mil jayega better. So Mav got her phone at 14. Faz, you got yours at 13. And Ahmed's around the same age, I guess, so the cell phone age, the accepted current cell phone age. I'm starting to see neighbors and family members give like their 5-year-old kids, 6-year-old kids, like Android phones and iPhones and whatnot. What do you think about that?
Honestly, I think it's absurd. Like, I think that's crazy.
Like, okay, so there's a kid that I tutor, and he has, like, an iPad and a phone. It's just, like, that's, like, so unnecessary. I remember when I was in grade 4, some kids already had a phone.
That's, like, age 8?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, seriously, like, the kids I'm seeing have phones before they even learn to read. So they're literally learning how to, like, they're recognizing apps. For example, my niece, she's only 2 years old. She doesn't have a phone of her own, right? But she uses her mom's phone. And she recognizes the apps. She knows a YouTube symbol, for example. So she'll open it up and she knows exactly how to get to her cartoons. But yeah, wow. It's amazing.
That might also be a reason why like toy stores are closing down, because little kids, they're starting to use electronics more than toys.
Rest in peace, Toys R Us. Yeah, my brother, when he saw that I got my phone when I was in 6th grade, he was in 4th grade. And my brother's the type, he's like, tit for tat. Like, if he sees I get something, he wants the same thing. Like, one time for my birthday, I got a toy, and he was like, I want that exact same toy. And he went and got it. So when he found out I got a phone, he got really mad. He was like, I demand a phone. They got him a phone when he was in 4th grade. And of course, they didn't want to. You know, a 4th grader does not need a phone. But, like, the fact is, my brother was really, you know, like, I need a phone.
Maybe. But Ajia, Wobi, she's 2 years old, and the and her sister is 3 years old. They both use phones. Unke apne to nahi hai, like my sister's phone, but she gives it to them. I think it's bad because they get addicted at this age when they don't even know what an addiction is.
Yeah, they're getting exposed to stuff that they really shouldn't be at that age.
What do you guys think is the perfect age? to like have a phone or be exposed to, for example, social media, which is like the next question, basically?
I would say like 13, or like when you're entering middle school.
I agree with that.
Because that's like when you start to be more independent. I mean, not like every kid is, but like I've seen like a lot of kids be more independent in middle school. I mean, I'm not allowed to go outside, but yeah, there's kids who can stay after school and do whatever they want. So for them, having a phone would be really good.
I would have chosen around 18 or something, because...
Wow.
Yeah, I used to think just like Ahmed, actually. I have a higher age. I don't know why kids, because that's the age I got a cell phone, around 18. But then I started accepting, okay, high school makes sense, because now around the high school age, at least in the US, probably Canada too, like kids are staying out, and it can sometimes be really dangerous here. Next question. Should kids go out late alone?
जी मुझे लगता है बहुत अफसोस है कि बच्चे मेरे जितने you know 15 year olds 14 years are going out you know all by themselves. Some of them are going in, you know, some of them are partying and stuff. It's
yeah.
I don't think that's really okay. I mean, I go to the park with my, I used to, you know, Mediporossi, my neighbors, they were about my age. They moved away, but we used to go to the park. We used to play Pokemon Go and play like tag in the park and stuff. The park is like right across the street. But besides that, I honestly have I don't see any reason my kids should be like going out by themselves and stuff.
Yeah.
At this age, I go out for movies and stuff.
There's like haram parties and stuff going on, even in middle school.
Wow.
Like, they have drugs too. It's just really bad.
In middle school,
I know.
Middle school, man. I remember last year my friend Cody got invited to one of those parties and he was like, no, stay away from you guys.
That's good.
So, if you had to put a lower end to it, which age do you think drugs have been introduced?
Drugs. Honestly, from what I've seen, like 14 year olds are doing it a lot.
A lot.
I've seen 13 year olds doing it. Like, this one girl, actually, I don't think I'm allowed to say her name, but like this one girl, back in eighth grade, she was dating a kid in a freshman, and that freshman was a drug dealer.
Oh my God.
And so she bought a ton of drugs from him and threw a party. 13 year old. Crazy.
My sister's ex friend, she also did drugs. Until like my mom found out, and then she made her like unfriend her, basically.
Yeah, it's sad to see. It's sad to see today's youth get corrupted by drugs and alcohol like this.
Mm-hmm. And now it seems like kids are just maturing faster.
Yeah, they are.
What would you say is causing that, though? Maybe Ahmed's perspective is different. I want to get Ahmed's perspective on this. Like, how are our kids and his school doing drugs and, you know, partying and like dating wale chakkar wagaira at very early ages?
The drugs thing, I don't think it's that high that a 13 year old can get drugs. I had a mom who was a drug addict for a while and he got off it, but I haven't met anyone since then who was actually an addict, especially not from my age group. However, the dating wala chakkar, I don't know, it's just natural. Like, it's natural when you like someone. So...
Yeah, bahut ho raha hai. Like, it's more, like, a lot of kids in my school, they have done a lot worse than just dating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just really bad. It might be because of the internet, like, kids are getting influenced more easily by people on the internet, maybe. Like, maybe they think it's cool to do that kind of stuff.
Yes, the edge is seen as cool, so the kids go for the edge.
Yeah, like they want to be cool kids.
I think it's two factors that playing in. Like, as you can see, like there are parents that are becoming less and less strict and less like strict with their kids and what they can do. Oh, meanwhile, social media and the internet is becoming more and more used in Gen Z. So because of this, like you will see kids that are going out more, they're seeing more things on the internet, they're not listening to their parents. It's a lot of child neglect, especially with the heroin epidemic in America. A lot of parents are neglecting their children and whatnot, and because of this, children are going out, they're partying, and not listening to their parents, and they're spending a lot of time on the internet. And the internet is also playing a major role.
Yeah, the internet is a major factor in how these this generation kids are being influenced and raised.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's other factors though besides the internet as well? Not that I can think of any, but can you guys think of any?
I mean, like other kids are influencing other kids, I guess.
Peer pressure.
Like that. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Peer pressure.
Like you try, girl.
Yeah, my parents are pretty strict on that. They're at least once a month they talk about the dangers of alcohol and drugs. They're constantly telling me that peer pressure, you're going to see that in high school. And I definitely agree with them. I think it is, you know, wrong. But like they're all telling me all the time that you're going to see a lot of that and you want to stay away from it. It doesn't matter whether you look cool. It's not going to make you look cool. The kids who do this kind of stuff, they're not going to end up very well in life. It's not going to really get you anywhere. It's only going to ruin your life and make you either an alcoholic or a drug addict, and it can really ruin your life and make you hurt the ones you love.
Yeah, same. I'm going to high school next year, and my parents have been like warning me about stuff like that. Like, there's going to be a lot of kids that are going to be doing that kind of stuff, and I really need to stay away from that.
Have either of you been sent to Islamic school?
No.
I think I did when I was younger. Not for a little bit. For a little bit, I don't remember any of it though. I remember like going there though and stuff at my my mosque, local mosque.
Because you know, a lot of parents now are sending, out of worries for their kids, they're sending their kids to Islamic school under the impression that you know, the kids will stay safer. Whether that's true or not, it's you know, it's hard to assess that until maybe 10 years later.
Yeah, my parents were considering it.
But then you, Mav, you only have like 2 years left before you go to college. So is it really worth it?
Well, I have 3 years, but I don't, yeah, it's not worth it. That's why they stopped thinking about it.
I was talking about like Sunday school.
Right. Yeah, two forms of Islamic school. A lot of them have Sunday school, which a lot of parents actually do to teach their kids Quran, especially in the West. Because yahan pe, you know, schools may, they don't teach Quran. So lots of parents actually teach Quran over the weekends themselves, or they hire, they send their kids to Islamic school on Sundays to teach that stuff. Then the other option is parents actually send their kids to Islamic school entirely, like 5 days a week, just like regular school. And on top of all your regular classes, English, you know, science, social studies, on top of all that, you'll also have an Islamic lecture period, which is interesting. But they pay a lot of money to do that, to help their kids kind of avoid the bad influence.
You need to pay money for Islamic schools.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah, that's why it's expensive. I used to have Quran classes, but they were like online through Skype.
Same.
The teacher was like really bad, so we quit.
Through Skype?
Yeah.
I'm currently taking Quran class through Skype right now. I actually had lessons today. I take them 4 or 5 days a week. 20-minute classes every day, 30-minute classes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Emma, what was your, were you sent to a hafiz or something to learn Quran, or did your parents teach you themselves?
Either, like, what you can that? Actually find a qari sahab easily. So most of my childhood there has been the qari sahab who teaches me Quran. However, I almost did get into a madrasa, but my parents, they abruptly took me out of it. I used to go to the mosques to pray daily, so I went there one day and the guy, the maulvi, he asked me to join the madrasa, and I was and I happily went after him. I came home and I told my parents about that, and they warned me not to go again.
Go where?
To the madrasa.
Oh. Why did they do that?
Because I already had a qari sahab, and the madrasas here aren't really, well, they're extremist.
They can be some really good ones too, but like it's hard to trust them.
Yeah.
And by the way, I guess a quick round table. How old are each of your parents, and like how religious are they?
My mom is 35, and she is, I would say she's pretty religious, because she made me learn the namaz and like always makes me pray 5 times a day. I mean, she doesn't make me anymore, because I have a habit of doing it now.
Mashallah.
And my dad's 40, and he's not that religious. Like, he's pretty chill about it.
My dad is in his 60s. My mom is almost in her 60s. Mom is very religious, but she doesn't really force me into it. My dad isn't religious at all, so he doesn't say anything about it.
Both my parents are about 10 to their 50s. My dad just turned 50. Both my parents are like, they're kind of, we don't really pray 5 times a day, but like whenever we have like school off on Juma, we'll go for like Juma namaz at the masjid, and we'll try to pray as much as possible. And you know, we do fastings and whatnot, but we don't eat like 100% like zabiha halal chicken, but we'll like eat like outside chicken and meat, but we of course we don't eat pork or like bacon or anything like that, of course.
That's interesting.
Because there's not really many places to get halal food in near my town. All of the days, there's a large Pakistani community, and almost no one in the community eats halal because there's like nowhere to get it from in the area, especially.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Because my family is so religious that we were also in an area where you couldn't find halal food that easily, and we used to drive like an hour to get halal meat.
Dang.
They were so religious that they did not, you know, compromise on that.
Oh yeah, same.
Yeah, in my viewpoint, there's nothing bad about it.
Like where I lived before, my dad had to drive like 1 hour to get halal meat.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine from your area too. Yeah.
Yeah, like especially with my dad like owning restaurants, owning Burger Kings and stuff. Like, how can we not? Like, if we can sell it, like, you know, why can't we not like eat normal meat?
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, my family's pretty strict on that part.
Yeah, it's all over the place. In terms of like the Pakistani community in the West, there's so many different. There's so much confusion, I guess, because our community is still very small, and we're very spread out. We're like very spread out, and the continent is just huge. North America is just huge, so we're like a very small community, just spread out. So people resort to like different viewpoints and lifestyles to survive.
Yeah, like when I first moved to Canada, I lived in an area where there was a bunch of Pakistanis, so like all the Pakistani kids would like play together and stuff, and I made a Pakistani club, and we would do like special stuff on Eid and 14th August, aka Pakistan's birthday, and then we would like have picnic in the park, and all the aunties and uncles would come and stuff. It was like really desi over there, but then like moved and now I'm in a really non-DC area.
That reminds me of my sister is in, you know, she goes to college right here in this town. There's a pretty large Pakistani student like population, so she's actually the president of the Pakistan Student Association. Like all the Pakistani students kind of have like a group, and they like hold events and stuff. Like we did like an Eid event in the 14th of August. My sister like held like a picnic in the park. It was pretty nice.
Yeah.
And I remember in second, third, and fourth grade, I had a friend named Ismail who was also Pakistani. He was a pretty bad influence on me. Like, he used to tell me that I can't have any friends that aren't Pakistanis. Like, he would force me to be friends with just him and other Pakistani kids. And that kind of got him in trouble with the school because he was, like, forcing religion and stuff. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. Like, he was a pretty bad influence on me. Yeah, he would also like lower my self-esteem a lot. He moved away. I kind of miss him sometimes, but I'm kind of glad he's gone because he was a pretty bad influence.
Yeah, how diverse are your friends, the two of you?
My friends are really diverse. Like, I have Arab friends, I have Christian friends, I have Somalian friends, I have Muslim friends, basically, but no brown friends.
Yeah, my town is very diverse as well. I have a Pakistani friend Hamza. He's pretty cool. He just came over to hang out the other day after Juma namaz. And I've got a couple Christian friends. You know, my friends Sam, Cody, Kirk. I'm pretty close with them as well.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to ask him this question because it's going to be all Pakistani. Yes. Pretty much 100% Muslim.
Everyone is Muslim and everyone is Pakistani, my friends. So.
And what do they think about kids in America? What do they think? What's the overall perception?
I'm doing O-levels, so at this point, kids here admire America for the universities that they can apply to. So they actually think highly of the American kids. They get it easy. Other than that, talking about religion, the school pushes it at times when it has to, but everyone just follows it when they have to, like, you don't want to get thrown out of Islam.
Makes sense.
Oh, yeah, this weird Molvi state of my life.
You went through that?
Yes. I used to pray 5 times a day and didn't even listen to the music because I thought it was a sin, I thought.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
What made you get out of that? Or
I don't know. It just changed over time.
Nothing wrong with namaz, of course. Yeah, if you were like religious to the point of restrictions, then, you know, it's interesting.
Yes, it actually started getting awkward around social events where I wouldn't go because parda.
Huh?
Parda. Restrictions. Hiding yourself from sin.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that seems way extreme.
Yeah. Honestly, like, most Muslims in my school are not religious at all. Like, you know, like, flirting and stuff that happens between the Muslim kids all the time. Except, like, there's just a few tiny bit that avoid that. But, like, other than that, yeah, they talk to, like, they flirt with the other gender. And they also, like, some of them eat gelatin. Like, they know, like one time, my friend who's Christian, she was eating like these gummies, and then this Muslim girl asked for some, and I told her that they have gelatin, but she was like, I don't care, I'll eat it anyways. I was like, what?
That's funny.
Yeah, actually, just the other day, I saw a Muslim kid. He was sitting at my table, and he pulled out a Rice Krispie that he bought from the lunch. And I was like, astaghfirullah, brother, what are you doing? That's haram. Do you know there's gelatin in that? And he's like, there's gelatin in this? I'm like, yes, there's gelatin in that. Check the back. And he checks the back, and he's like, astaghs, and he gives it to one of our gore friend.
Honestly, I think it's like the way you're raised, like how your parents raise you is a factor. And then it comes down to your own self, like if you want to do bad stuff or not. And then like what your other Muslim friends do, maybe that can also influence you, like how other Muslims act and what is okay by their standards or not. That can make you like do less religious stuff. But like one way I got really religious was because I started watching this Islamic YouTube channel, and it's like it changed me a lot. Like I started praying like a lot more frequently, 5 times a day.
Which channel was that?
It was called Prophet's Pass.
I think I've seen that.
And there was another one called Merciful Servant.
Oh, I've seen Merciful Servant.
Yes. Well,
those videos are so inspiring.
I know, right?
Is that the one with the guy who raps?
No, that's that. Isn't that Dean Squad?
No, you're thinking of Muslim Dean. Muslim Dean, yeah. Dean Squad.
Yeah, Dean Squad.
I think it's a lot of things. First, our parents. My parents have always raised me to stay away from all these haram things. They're like constantly mourning me, like I've said. And especially staying to the right path, staying to the path of Islam, and, you know, reciting surahs and actively reading through the Quran. You know, you have to stay on the right path. A lot of kids, maybe they have weaker wills and they're not really thinking about what their parents have taught them, or their parents really don't really care, or they don't really want to tell them what to do. So like those kids are just going out and doing this, like, you know, parents aren't really doing anything about it. The parents are the ones who are supposed to stop them and tell them what's right and wrong.
Yeah, a lot of kids don't know the consequences of doing haram stuff. They were never taught the consequences.
Emma, do you have anything to add here?
College is the age where you suddenly become independent, and that's when this starts to come in, actually, drugs and stuff. Was nowhere close to the age of 13. That's still shocking for me.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Are you allowed to have non-Muslim friends?
Yeah, I do have a Christian friend. And I mean, my friend from elementary school, like his parents are like really strict. And he's like probably the nicest person I've ever met in my whole entire life. And he doesn't even play Minecraft because his mom told him that it messes with your eyes. So he doesn't even play Minecraft. And he always like shares his stuff. And he always like just says nice stuff to other people. And he's really into studies too. That's what he cares about. And he's not even Muslim.
Yeah, I my friend Cody, he comes from a strict Christian family. Although he does date, he, you know, does so conservatively, and he stayed away from drugs and alcohol. Like I said, he was invited to a party which was based around drugs, but he declined the offer and decided to stay away from such people. So yeah, he is Christian, and he was raised with good moral values and stuff.
Yeah, my friend doesn't even listen to songs with bad words. Like, wow. Just like even a one tiny bad word.
Wow.
I used to be like that, but then I started to listen to rap and things changed.
Tupac changed your mind.
I used to listen to just the clean versions, but it's kind of changed.
Mm. What do you guys want to do when, I guess, you're almost there, actually. You know how kids get asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? But now you have a more realistic
yes.
observation of life than when you were like 5 years old, right? At five, it's just like, oh, many pilot, but but now you kind of probably have a much better idea of what your skills are and things like that. What do you really want to do?
I want to pursue programming.
Nice. Programming, Emma, programming of what?
Programming as in the back end, the actual programming for like websites.
Right. Yeah. Like back end development. Yes. Got it.
I probably want to do something like related either to science or computers. Like science is like one of my favorite subjects. And I was pretty good at the dissecting heart thing. So maybe like some kind of doctor. And also I'm into like technologies and stuff. So maybe something related to CS. But honestly, I'm not really 100% sure right now.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing, actually.
Yeah, my father, he really has inspired me. He's my hero. He's a businessman. He owns businesses and whatnot. At first, like, things weren't really going well in the business, but over time, things picked up and now things are great. He really has inspired me to follow in his footsteps. So I'm going to, when I grow up, after I get my master's in business degree, I'm going to help him with the family business, and I'm going to be his partner. I'm going to work with him for him and expand the business into like other things, like possibly hotels.
Wow, that's awesome. What type of business is this?
Restaurants and real estate.
Okay, that's good.
A random comment, like when you guys were talking about the Pakistani kids like dating stuff, like they're like really interested in that stuff because it might be because like a lot of Pakistani schools, they have like separate classes for boys and girls, and so they're not exposed to that stuff early on. So when later they have classes together, they want to like experiment and stuff.
Mm. You're talking about schools in Pakistan?
Yeah.
Yeah, though I think a lot of schools are co-ed now, but
yeah,
not all of them.
Really seems like they're encouraging some forms of, not that there's anything wrong with this, but they,
I mean, I remember like going to school in Pakistan, and like after grade five, you would go. I mean, when you get to grade five, you would go to a different building, where it was for girls, and another building for the boys. But now I heard that the school has changed it to grade two. Now, like after grade two, you go to different buildings.
Wait, you went to school in Pakistan?
Yeah, I lived there for 7 years.
Oh, okay. I thought you were born in Canada.
Same.
No, I was born in Pakistan.
I see. Ahmed wanted to add a point here about depression, so we started talking about that.
Yes, actually, from what I've actually seen, a lot of, like, the majority is actually depressed. Even at this stage, normally when you grow up, you get to face them head on, so it's not that big a problem.
Mm-hmm. What's also bothering me is, though, depression is being considered a bit cool, almost like a style.
I know.
Whoa, like, that's weird.
Like, normally you might get depression in your 20s because that's, like, a stressful part of your life, but, like, a lot of underage kids are getting it, too. And a reason for that might be like school, because back in the day, you didn't really have to worry about how you looked and stuff in school. And now it's more extreme and you want to fit in with other kids. That might be one of the reasons.
Yeah, depression rates are skyrocketing. Suicide rates among teenagers also skyrocketing. It's crazy.
There's definitely more bullying.
Yeah.
Before, kids were just getting bullied at school. Now you can get bullied at home. Because you're also getting messaged on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. So for kids who fall prey to that, it's just a constant cycle.
Yeah, even this kid, my friend Cody, actually, he had a best friend who actually hanged himself.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What apps do you guys have? Social media accounts and apps?
I have Snapchat, Instagram, but I don't really use them often. I mean, I even deleted them because I was kind of getting addicted to it.
Yeah, I have Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook. I don't really use Snapchat at all. I open it like once every 2 months. As for Instagram, maybe once a week. Facebook, once maybe every other day, but not even maybe for like 10 minutes. So I do have tons of social media, but I don't use it that much.
Yeah, Discord is like probably the most that I use, as if it considers as social media.
Same.
Well, I like Discord because I met different people there. And in the starting, I was in Muslim chat and they were actually very nice to me. And I think that's what got me latched on. I don't know, I just can't leave. When I leave it, I just come back after some time.
Yeah, I have a friend who I knew since like 11 years, since I was 11. And I met them on a game, but I still have them like added on social media.
Yeah, I've met some best friends on Discord, you know, Mavra, Amar, Blossom. I actually met Blossom in real life when I went to Canada, and I met her on Discord.
Oh, yeah, really? I didn't know that.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, no wonder you got banned.
Oh, man. I was like...
How much Urdu do you guys speak? Are you really fluent in Urdu? Saitana aati hai, achi aati Urdu?
Main kahungi, mujhe aati hai, kaafi achi. Jo loves mujhe aate nahi hai Urdu mein, phir main wo unhe angrezi mein bol deti hu.
Mere ghar mein mere maa baap kehte hain ki khali Urdu mein bolna hota hai, hum angrezi mein nahi bol sakte. Kyunki jab hamare bachche honge, mama papa kehte hain ki wo to bol jayenge Urdu kaise bolte hain, to isliye hum ghar mein zyada Urdu bolte hain.
Ha, jab main like अपने पाकिस्तानी फ्रेंड्स के घर जाती हूँ ना, तब वहाँ मेरी आंटी कहती हैं कि लाइक उर्दू में बोला करो, क्योंकि फिर हमें भूल जाएगी अगर हम बोलेंगे नहीं.
मैं तो बचपन से उर्दू ही बोलता आया हूँ, मुझे तो आती है, मैं एक्चुअली फ्लुएंट हूँ और मैंने बीच में इंग्लिश बोली.
I have two cousins who they were just like you, just like Faz, I guess. But then actually they forgot Urdu. Can you imagine that? They knew Urdu. And then they forgot it by, now they're like age 20.
Top 10 anime betrayals.
Well, well, what's happening though? Like the reason I'm surprised is I see kids like you two, but then I also see a ton of kids who have no interest in Pakistani culture. They're Pakistani from the outside. They're brown, but from the inside, they're completely white. So, unko koi interest nahi hai.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Whitewashing.
Now, that's why I'm really surprised that the two of you are very ethnically connected, actually, for growing up in the West.
Shukriya.
Shukriya.
More questions. Have you noticed any discrimination in your schools?
Not for me. Like, my school is really diverse. So, there's like tons of kids from different countries, and plus, we're Canadians and we're considered nice, and I mean that's pretty true for my school. Like there's barely any bullying or anything, so I haven't really faced any discrimination.
Oh, where do I start? I have faced a lot of discrimination in my town. Like, you know, the terrorist who ordered Malala Yousaf to be killed, his name was Fazlullah. And basically when we were reading Malala's autobiography, when his name came up, they started calling me Fazlullah, and I've had kids call me a terrorist multiple times before. Kids have been harassing me and my friend Hamza, asking us, hey, when are you going to plant the bomb? Are you going to blow up the school bus? If you need help planting the bomb, let me know. And, you know, they've been screaming, Allahu Akbar!
Oof.
You know, lots of discrimination, lots of harassment.
Is this recent, Fuzz?
7th grade, 8th grade, it has gone down a little bit in 9th grade, but every once in a while you will see that. But my parents, they have reached out to the middle school and the high school. They're, well, not the high school, because there hasn't been a lot of stuff happening at the high school, thank God. But especially during election season, you know, Trump and all that, there was a lot of discrimination. And when my parents did inform the school of this, literally nothing was done. The school was like, hey, buddy, stop bullying. And it did literally nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a good example, I think, of how Canadian environments differ from the US. Because my experience is very similar to Foz's, actually. But I would imagine that Foz, you should have less than what I went through. Because what I went through was shortly after 9/11, so things were really fresh.
Yeah, my sister faced a lot of that right after 9/11 as well.
Well, yeah, my school is like really different, like, you know, because, you know, all the stuff that's happening in Europe right now, like all the serious stuff. Like, there's a bunch of Syrians coming at my school, and everyone's really accepting of that. And probably, like, 3/4 of the school is friends with Muslims. Like, they probably have at least one Muslim friend.
In my school, it's, like, it's the other way around, but the bullying part is very, like, it's not actually there. If any Canadian or, in this case, we've had Brits at our school, and everyone is like, why did your parents send you to Pakistan? Like, you've got better chances outside of Pakistan. Why would you come here to study?
Yeah.
Like, even I've asked them many times, and they generally don't have an idea of why they were sent.
Yeah, lots of parents actually send their kids back to Pakistan to study.
Yeah. My parents were considering that if I do doctors.
My parents actually moved to America 1995, I believe, maybe a little before that, so that way their children, you know, me, my brother, my sister, could actually get better education. They came here for us.
Yeah.
Emma, are there any, like, other minorities in your school? Christians, Hindus?
It's usually normal. They don't really bother them. The kids that actually get bullied are from our own. Pakistani kids get more bullied than any other ethnicity.
By Pakistani, you mean Muslim?
No, Pakistani, like, हमारे अपने बच्चे हमारे अपने स्कूलों में ज्यादा बुली होते हैं बाहर वालों को इतना कुछ नहीं कहता apparently they have more rights, I guess. I don't know.
How much percentage would you say is a different minority in your school other than Muslim Pakistanis?
Like 5%.
Okay.
Oh, yes, the kids that are from, like, from another countries, like, उन्हें कोई कुछ कहे तो their parents come over without, like this. So no one actually bothers them. Just they are a trouble.
Got it.
I feel like it would be nice to have more brown kids here because, you know, so you can have someone to relate to on a personal level with, like, you know, like, they grew up in the same kind of environment, same kind of parents who have, like, forced them to study and stuff, same kind of food and other stuff like that, like, same cultural stuff. It'd be, like, nice to relate to someone who would understand that kind of stuff.
Karen?
I, for one, wish, yeah, definitely more Pakistani kids as well. Although, I would say I wish that I could read in Urdu because I cannot read in Urdu. Meanwhile, there are a lot of Pakistani Americans that can, my age. So a lot of, you know, obviously a large majority, like 99% of Pakistani is living in Pakistan, they can read Urdu. Meanwhile, I can. I wish that was something that I had.
I sort of can read Urdu. Like, I actually learned Arabic before I learned Urdu, because Arabic helped me learn Urdu, so I can read somewhat of it.
Yeah, like, I know the letters, and, like, I know how they would sound, but, like, Urdu is a lot of guessing, and I can't really do that guessing. Like, if somebody says a word out loud and then, like, puts it on a piece of paper, I don't understand, like, letter by letter what that says. I understand that. But if, like, I have to read it by myself, I'm not going to get that.
Yeah, I sort of, like, knew how to write in Urdu, too, when I lived in Pakistan. But I've totally forgotten that. But I just remember, like, a tiny bit of how to read it.
Pakistan mein rahe ke bhi my Urdu, like, the written part of it isn't really that good.
I heard Pakistani kids have, like, a hard time in the Urdu subject.
Yes,
because they're more focused on, like, English and stuff, so, like, the Urdu exam is, like, really hard.
Yeah, my cousin who lives in Pakistan, he's my age, he's 15. You know Diable, right, Dahir? Yeah. He's like almost a straight A student. He's, like, practically as good as me in math. The only problem is he tells me how difficult it is to take Urdu class. He says that, like, it's the one class he has, like, a D in, and he's, like, really struggling there. So I can definitely see how Urdu would be a difficult subject in Pakistani schools.
In our school, the difficult part is the poetry. You have to write the explanation of the poetry, and that's actually pretty difficult because the poets use difficult words. The words were common in their time. Now they've just died off.
Yeah, Urdu poetry seems really hard. It's really difficult compared to English poetry.
Poetry sounds so difficult. I'm glad we don't have poetry in America because, I mean, we don't do a lot with it.
What?
It's not very good, yeah.
I have a poetry subject, like, in English class, but we don't use it. We don't do it, like a lot. It doesn't matter that much.
Right. Ahmed, you already kind of mentioned you wanted to work abroad. Is that, like, a very popular mindset? Like, lots of kids just want to go abroad to work? Or are there a lot of kids who just want to stay as well?
There is like this. There's O-levels and A-levels. Then there's the government system, the matric and FSC. Those that do O-levels and A-levels, they usually have this mindset that they want to work abroad. And A-levels helps in studying abroad. However, the matric system is for those that want to pursue their career in Pakistan.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. We forgot, like, how our schedule is at school. Okay. So in Canada, grade 9 Canada is equals to grade 6 American level.
Oh,
so it's,
wow,
like, super easy. And probably, like, grade 4 Pakistani level. It's like, I don't know why they don't teach stuff. Like, like in math right now, we just started learning what polynomials, which you probably learned, I don't know, back in sixth grade.
I learned that very long ago.
Like, we just started learning what a monomial is, what a binomial is, and what a trinomial is. Like, we just touched that topic.
Yo, I don't remember that. Is that in Geometry 1? I take Geometry 1 next year.
No, polynomials is more like algebra, but...
Yeah.
Damn, I did not take that in sixth grade.
I took that in
ninth grade. Yeah.
I don't recall that.
I mean, that's what my math teacher said, because I remember reading the Pakistani math book of either grade 7 or grade 6 level, and they were teaching, like, advanced polynomials in that.
I mean, some schools are more fast-paced. We all know that, of course, mathematics are much faster-paced in Asia and other countries in general,
yeah,
outside of North America.
Asians are good at math.
Yeah. Emma, do you remember that stuff? At what age you learned?
Polynomials, I'm not really sure. Around class 5, I'd say.
Dang.
Fifth grade?
Yes.
I think we had just learned division and multiplication in fifth grade. No, I think that was more like second or third grade, but still. In fifth grade, we were not doing anything algebra, not even close.
When did you learn adding and subtracting fractions?
Fractions,
That's what I learned.
Grade? I think I learned, yeah, second or third grade, maybe.
I learned
maybe
that in, like, seventh or eighth grade.
Fourth grade, I feel.
Wow. So, like, Canadian schools are definitely slowed down until high school, like, because a lot of my teachers have been warning, like, us since, like, grade 9 is the last year. They have been saying how, like, we're going to have to get better study habits and stuff because high school is going to be really tough, because that's where they cram all the hard stuff. And it's really chill until high school.
Compared to American schools, like, they keep it at a gradual pace. Like, the amount of studying needed goes up slowly. Meanwhile, Canadian schools, it just instantly goes up when you reach high school.
Yeah.
In American schools, like, they get you prepared for that over time, assigning little bits of more and more of homework.
So, like, when did you guys learn chemistry?
Like, kind of spread it out, like, over elementary and, I think, middle school. I mean, sorry, middle school. Yeah, like, pre-chemistry, like, maybe some basics.
Oh, we just started learning it. I mean, like, the parts of an atom and stuff, like the periodic table of elements.
I think we touched base on that in seventh grade, but I don't think we've done much of that.
Oh. Yeah, I get up at 6:30, I pray, and then I eat and get dressed and stuff, which takes me, like, until, like, 7:30, I guess. And then I go out at 8 o'clock, and my bus comes at 8:10. And then I reach the school at 8:30, and the bell rings at 8:35. And then I have 6 periods in a day. So we have LA. English is, like, my school is, like, an English school, so we have LA language arts every single day, every week. But the math, social, and science, we have only 4 times a week. And then we have 2 option classes that we have 3 times a week, so... Like, option could be construction, computers, art, guitar, or music. I currently have computers and foods. And then we have gym 3 times a week, and then French 3 times a week. And that's all spread out in 6 periods of every day of a week. Yeah, that's basically my schedule.
Wow. Yeah, I have to get up at like 6:45 every day, not bad compared to other students who have to drive far or take the bus. School's about like 15 minutes away, 20 minutes compared to the middle school, which was like really close, like walking distance. So yeah, first I have like first period I have a study hall, which is like basically like get work done and stuff. And like Mav said, you know, if there are students struggling, not me, of course, but like other students, they get pulled in for extra classes. You know, then I have a chorus second period, going through, you know, your basics, math, science, world studies, all that. And then I take Spanish class every single day, for the second semester. I did take it in the first, but then I had appendicitis. I had to have surgery. Although I had an A in that class, it was pretty easy. I had to drop it because I was too far behind. Yeah, but otherwise, things have been going pretty well in all my classes, which is pretty nice, despite the fact that I was gone for like 2 months almost.
Your high school has a, does it have like a point system? Like, you know, where you have to earn 100 points to graduate?
Yeah, I think it's like 36 though, like 1 point
Oh.
per class. And we have 2 semesters and 4 quarters, 4 quarters per semester.
Okay.
We have no fixed graduation system. Bas pass on hota hai. Paper de do pass ho jao aa jaoge. Attendance isn't really mandatory, but you actually need it to pass the exams.
Here, if you get like a lot of absence, then you get a call home from school, and then if it gets serious, then you get a call from the government or something.
Whoa, yeah, I think we have the same thing going in America. Like if you like I remember one time, like I'm having some weird mix up on my schedule, and for some reason, like ever since I got back after my appendicitis, every Wednesday for some reason I've been having some weird absence. I'm talking to my counselor about fixing that. And so every single time, like some like voicemail goes to my parents and stuff. I don't even know why.
Have you guys ever got marked absent for like a class that you actually attended?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about right now. Like, I don't know why every Wednesday I'm going to my vocal lesson, but it's saying I'm not there and I didn't even talk to my teachers.
One time I got marked absent, and then like my parents got a phone call and they were like really upset about that. And then I see other kids that they skip gym class every time they have it, and like I guess their parents don't even care. And my parents here are like they rage about me skipping, actually not skipping, but skipping, code skipping class for one time.
Here it's like every one class you miss, they just phone home for once. Let me explain. Like, if you don't come to school, then they phone home to ask what's up for like 2 days or something
Yeah, same here.
to check on the kid.
I heard some kids in high school, like when they turn 18, they change the phone number to their own personal number. So they like skip classes, and then they don't like their parents don't even know.
How evil.
Yeah.
Here they verify phone numbers on every PTM they get. It's actually, it gets pissing after some time. Like, they keep asking for the same number.
All right, last thing would just be like two fun questions. Your favorite color and your favorite video game.
Ooh.
Okay, I would say my favorite color. I'm still deciding between blue and purple, but I would say purple now. And my favorite video game, I don't know, I would say Overwatch, but I just started playing it.
Say Roblox.
Well, I quit Roblox, so sad.
Thoughts and prayers.
I mean, Roblox just got really cancerous. Like, it's now dangerous for little kids to play it too.
There's like child predators and stuff.
That's crazy. All right, yeah, that's stupid. Okay, what about you, Fuzz?
Well, my favorite game is Rainbow Six Siege, but just by looking at my PFP, I think you can guess my favorite color.
Okay, Hamad, last one is for you. Favorite color, favorite
Blue
game.
and game. I haven't really played any video games that often.
Really?
Yes, I don't.
Minecraft?
We like my computer has a 2 GB RAM. You can't play anything. I open so many
Oh,
stuff to hang.
that's true. And no consoles? PS4.
A mobile game?
Mobile, yes, I play because that's the only thing I can play.
Honestly, I'm like in the middle. Like, I'm shy and quiet, but I Like, once I get to know someone, that I do like their company.
Oh my god. Oh my god, I'm the exact same thing. Like, you meet me at first, I'm like, this is like introvert, I'm like shy.
Yeah.
And then, like, you get to meet me, you're like, why is this guy so hyperactive? And
mm-hmm. Like, making friends.
I think the main question is, like, do you get energized by social activity, or do you get tired of social activity? I think that's what helps separate.
I would say energized.
Energized.
I don't really do social activity, but when I do, it's when I really want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I got chosen into the school badminton team, and badminton was the only thing I did.
Is that your favorite sport?
Yes, it is for now.
I would say mine is basketball and ice hockey. What about you, Foz?
My favorite sport? So hard. Is it sleeping or is it video games?
Like a physical one. No.
I play table tennis.
What about golf for you, Foz?
I play a little bit in the summer. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm good at it, because I'm not really good at it, but I still play it.
Oh, I played actual golf with my dad, but it got boring because all you need to do is walk to the wall.
Well, thank you for thank you for having us, Red.
Oh yeah, thanks.
Great to be here.